wisdom of men. I will try to wrap up as fast as possible, God help me. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That word perfect there is mature. Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught. Alright, so we see in verse 5, the Bible says that your faith may not stand, or that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is a very pertinent reality that we must understand, and we need to understand why Brother Paul is trying to unveil this kind of reality, because every time you see some interpretative measures in scriptures, especially when you see Brother Paul addressing some kind of issue, it's because of the prevalent environmental situation or prevalent possibilities happening in that particular territory. Ridiculous words. So, there were cases of men who came, and by their coming, they came with eloquence. They came with men's wisdom. And I'm talking about literal. This is literal. Do you understand it? There were men in that day or in those days who came with men's wisdom. They came with eloquence. They were speaking with enticing words. They were speaking with cunningly devised fables. Do you understand it? So, Brother Paul began to address that issue. That these ones will not make you go foul, except that you align yourself to a kind of wisdom. Because there's a kind of wisdom and there's another kind of wisdom. But if you align yourself to this erroneous wisdom, there's a dimension of the reality of God that will not find expression, except that you come back into the wisdom of God. Do you understand it? So, he began to address, if you read from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, you will see what I'm saying. He began to address them and says to them that you shouldn't allow your wisdom or your faith to rest upon the wisdom of men. And by that, it means that there's a wisdom captured in men. Are you following me? A man can deploy wisdom. A man can deploy understanding. A man can deploy knowledge. However, what kind of knowledge? However, what kind of wisdom? And what kind of understanding? This is saying to you that it is not all understandings that is factor in God. It is not all wisdoms that are factored in God. So there could be a layer of expression that looks somewhat like it, or actually in the real sense is not it. It could be termed the wisdom of men. When you search that wisdom carefully, you will find that a content or an iota of men's intellect, men's possibility, that you will know if you find it deeply, if you try to suck the nutrient from that wisdom, you know that it had the hand of man. But when it comes to God, you know that this is wisdom that is restricted to the confine of heaven. And this kind of wisdom can only be deployed by God. In that wisdom, you will not find an iota of flesh. But if it is men who deploy that wisdom, flesh will be factored. Self will be unveiled because it is the wisdom of men. So, if your faith is leveraged or is premised on that wisdom, your life will never be better than the wisdom captured by men. You will journey. Are you following me? You will walk. In fact, you will walk as a Christian. But however, what is sponsoring your path is the wisdom captured in men. And the fact is this, that a faith can be built on that wisdom. Are you following me? A faith can be constructed on that wisdom. It will look as though this is God at work. However, if we check very carefully, you will know that this wisdom is not God. Are you following me? You will know that this wisdom is not factored in God, is not sponsored by God. And that's what Paul says, that your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men. This is because if we don't bring clarity, and if we don't bring boundary, your faith can stand in the wisdom of men. Do you understand it? Your faith can stand. Men, my point is, men can sponsor your faith. Are you following me? And one of the reasons you know that men can sponsor your faith is that when a man falls and you fall along with him, your faith is predicated upon his. Do you understand? You know, I had men and women in court of stature who were pastors that told me, before I got married, that have I checked that out? I told him, he said, don't dull yourself, pastors. I don't want to talk. Are you mean? What did I call them? When they stand on the pulpit, you will know that God has come. Amen. So they are the one giving you bearing. If I was gullible, if I've not sustained the wisdom of God, my faith can stand in the wisdom of men. Is it clear to you? That men will now become your object of navigation. They become your conviction. You know, you can honor a man to that point that you are, anything he says goes at the detriment of the spirit. That your faith may not stand in the wisdom of men. So men can profess solution, they can supply wisdom, but where will your own faith stand in the face of those kind of reality? Where we are, if I was gullible, I would have been susceptible to that callousness, because it is callousity. Are you following me? I would have been susceptible. And you know, I can easily say to you that I glide on the premise of the wisdom that a man supplied me. And I didn't pick the wisdom of God in that reality. Do you understand? You know, many persons would have been susceptible to such. And says, if pastor can do it, you know, this thing is prevalent. It's a commonplace in the body now. It's a commonplace in the body as we speak. It's a commonplace. Let's leave family or cultural background. Even in the church, it has now become the present move. It has now become like a move of the spirit. Are you following me? It has become what? Like a move of the spirit. is something that is now common. In the days of our fathers, these things were scarce. Are you following me? In fact, one of the things they use in gauging you is that they check if you are still a virgin. In fact, there's a culture that on the wedding night, the whole family will sit down and they will check if the lady is still a virgin or not. Have you heard about that? They will sit down. So the husband and wife will copulate before them. The only thing they are waiting for is to see blood. Are you following me? It's to see blood. But it's no longer common in our time. And I'm not saying that one is good or not. Are you following me? Because I don't know how that happens. That people gather to check where witnesses. Are you following it? So it's a current move. So your life can be dependent upon the wisdom of men. And by so, you can build a faith around the wisdom of men. Your faith can be predicated around the wisdom of men that you journey alongside with it. And you think you are walking in faith. When they ask you, you say, I'm faithing it. Are you following me? However, this kind of faith is not premised upon the wisdom of God. So Brother Paul began to bring a possibility that is with veracity. Are you following me? That your wisdom, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power. In the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, right? So, and the word power there is not exousia, it's not authority, it's dunamis. Hallelujah. If you will check that word, I've thought about it before. Oh my. Dunamis is not an ordinary word. Dunamis is powerful. You know, when you talk about exousia, it's just authority. You know, there are four words for power in the scriptures. There's kratos, there's iskos, there's dunamis, and there's exousia. Do you understand it? They have their own varying degrees of operation. And they are kind of the same way that you have some kind of words for receptivity, for receiving in scriptures. So you don't see all receive and you conclude they are the same. Because they are level. We have lambano, you have paralambano, you have catalambano, you have epilambanomai. Are you following? These things, they have their varying degree of operation. So you don't assume that everything is the same. Are you following me? So when you see the word dunamis, the word dunamis captured a possibility of a total fabric essence of the reality of God. I purposely use those words. They are synonyms, but I use them for a purpose. Are you following me? The totality of ability. The totality of expression. That's what that word came from, the word dynamo or dynamite. Do you understand it? Dynamite.
If you studied physics at any point in your journey, you understand that.
Dynamite is the conversion of potential energy to kinetic energy. It's not just at a potential level. It has now been transformed into a kinetic level, to a point that the power on your inside can find expression
It's not just locked up. It's not just an ability that is ensealed within your essence. It's an ability that has been transmuted and translated into an expression that, whether consciously or unconsciously, you are dispensing that ability. That's what dunamis is. Dunamis is not just a resident energy or a resident impetus. It's an expression that even when you are walking on the road, you can find expression. You have built and cultured that energetic system on your inside. It has been coded and gone beyond the level of coding to finding expression. Either consciously or unconsciously, dunamis finds expression. And how does that happen? The level of your fraternity with dunamis will determine the level of its expression, the level of its operation. Do you understand it? So as you constantly fraternize with the power on your inside, how do you do that? That's what 1 Corinthians Philemon 6 said. That the communication of thy faith, the communion, the partnership, the koinonia of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging. That acknowledging is the word epignosis. By the epignosis, not epignosco or ginosco or gnosis. Epignosis is a precise knowledge. You have a precise understanding, a precise and accurate knowledge. That's epignosis. A precise knowledge that I carry something on my inside. Are you following me? No faith of men or the wisdom of men can shift your conviction. You are convicted. You have the conviction that I am an embodiment of the possibilities of God. So every time you have the capacity to dispense it. How do you do that? By the acknowledging. You acknowledge it. But before you acknowledge it, you must first fellowship with it. Are you following? Because we can say to you that you carry the possibilities of God and you will die with it. Are you following me? That's why you can be anointed and broke. Anointedly broke. Are you following me? Because if you do not pay attention to some kind of area in your journey, you can do hand like that. People will move, but you will still go back and so guide. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Because if a man does not acknowledge the possibilities of God, they will never find expression. But it does not mean that they are not in you. It doesn't mean. Listen, check any area of your life that you are lagging behind. Is an area you have not acknowledged. You have not acknowledged the possibilities of God. The day that you epignosis that thing. And can I tell you, it takes time. Maybe I should tell you. For you to master the technology of finance, it can take you 3 years of acknowledging. I believe you are not going to bump into it accidentally. Many of us, we easily receive when we don't see those things in manifestation on time. And you say it's not working. You say, no, you are not working. I told him, you are not working. It takes time for you to master it. You see, the journey of a man, when it comes to a way of building his intellect, takes time. I told him, for the accurate one, you have to go through 6 years. Okay, they don't do that. In our own day, we completed everything. I didn't do common entrance exam before, like they do now. 6 years, I did it. 6 years in secondary school, I did it. In this one, it's almost 7 years. Are you following me? So it took time for me to build some kind of measures and for my intellect to become wisdom personified. And by that wisdom, I'm not saying the wisdom of God, because there are things that we have built into our brain that's not captured in God. So when the Bible said the other time, I thought we were going to say that we have the mind of Christ. It's not saying you have the mind of Christ. Don't get it wrong. The present mind you have is not of Christ. Are you following me? Don't say I have the mind of Christ. It's like, in that mind you are thinking pornography and it's for Christ. You can't be pornography in what Christ can. Christ think pornography? So why are you telling me I have the mind of Christ? What he's saying to you is that you can reason like him. You now have, now that you are in him, there's a technology inside of you that gives you the capacity to reason like Christ. It doesn't say you have the brain of Christ. You have your own brain. Are you following? You have your brain. The reason is, that's why you can still say no to God. Because you have your own brain. You can still say no. You choose to follow your own way, I will choose you. Because you have your own. If you have peace, you will never say no to him. What I'm saying is that you have your choice. Are you following me? Okay. So when it says you have the mind of Christ, don't get it wrong. You can only reason. You can function like him, but you might not function like him. These things are choice. You can, but you may not. Alright, so where was I? Alright, so I said to us that even though you carry the possibilities of God, is at a potential level. But a man can die with potential. If you do not understand how to channel your potential in the right direction, it won't find expression. So how does this thing culminate into the possibilities of God? It's by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Now listen, for you to know that the thing is not actually in you, they have to introduce you to the person that the thing is in, really. That the reason why you have it is because it's in the person.
Is it clear to you?
So at no point will you be boasting that it is you. They said by the acknowledging of the good things which is in you, right? In Christ. Because they know that there's the possibility of you boasting that I have arrived. But the person who actually owns that thing is Christ. So you will have to depend on him to find the expression.
Is it clear?
And by you depending on him, it's not external. It's still an internality. Do you understand it? It has been, this possibility of Christ has been internalized. But even though it has been internalized, you still have to depend on him. Yeah. He's within you, but you will not go far if you do not depend on him. So, for these things to find expression, you will have to acknowledge every good thing that is in you, in Christ Jesus. That means you must reach out, listen to me, you must reach out to precise and accurate knowledge of the possibilities of God on your inside.
you are not reaching out to knowledge. You are reaching out to precise and accurate knowledge. They are saying to you, get it clear, that for these things to become kinetic, to find expression, you are not just looking for gnosis, scientific knowledge. No, sir. You are not just looking for epigenosco. No. You are, there's something you are in search of. And what you are in search of is called a precise knowledge. When by precise knowledge, it means that you don't have any other external attached knowledge. Are you with me? You are precise. You are on a spot. You are on a track. So at no point will you shift. You are just following the trajectory because you have a precise knowledge. So if somebody comes and gives you an option or alternative, say no. You have a precise knowledge. Is it clear to you? If somebody comes and says, can we just try it this way? Don't you think this way is better? You say no. Why? Because you have epignosis. Accurate knowledge. Precise is succinct. It's not a knowledge that you are in doubt of. If things are still, if you are still doubting some kind of things in your spiritual knowledge, in your spiritual journey, it means that you have not captured the epignosis of that thing. Is it clear to you? You have the knowledge of the Bible, but you have not captured epignosis. Because the day you break into epignosis, you are not shifting grounds. You are towing a path. You are applying a route. And in this route, nothing can change your convictions. You are so convinced. You are so focused. Your focal point is to an end. And you are applying that route. Nothing can shift your ground because you have a precise, that's why they call it precise and accurate knowledge. You have a precise and accurate knowledge. Listen, this is how Jesus journeyed.
Are you following?
Jesus journeyed by epignosis. He knew where he was going to. So the Bible says that because of the glory that is set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. That's epignosis. Because of the glory, he was gazing at something ahead of him, and there was a knowledge that sponsored his pilgrimage, that until I reach forth to this glory, I will not shift ground. So no matter the alternatives, the shortcut that people are giving me, in fact, the day the devil came and began to lay before him shortcuts, knowledge, this epignosis sponsored his conviction. Because what the devil was trying to offer him in Matthew chapter 4 was a shortcut to the cross. It says, if you will bow down before me, see, check out all these things, I will give them to you. That's a shortcut to the glory. Because what Jesus was looking for is glory. So the devil came and he brought a shortcut, a quicker way of getting money. A quicker way of getting it done. But a knowledge sponsored Jesus' conviction that no, this is not it. I know that this is another route that I can use, but I will not use it because there's a kind of knowledge. It's called epignosis. This kind of knowledge restricts your journey to the confine of Christ. Hey! This kind of knowledge makes you stand giddy. That it is either Christ or no other. So when there are opportunities, are you following? When there are opportunities that will shut down the reality of Christ, you don't reach out to them. But this can only happen. Listen to me. This, if you have just the ordinary knowledge of the Bible, you will fall for anything. Are you following me? If you just have the what? Ordinary knowledge of the Bible, you will fall for anything. That's why your knowledge is ingredient. If you don't transit, if the level you stayed at was the level of just being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, if that's the only level you stayed at and you don't move on to partnering with being born again, are you following me? So if your knowledge does not transit ingredients, there are some things that you will fall for cheaply. So a thief can still promise you the latest iPhone and you will collect it. Oh, you don't understand. The only thing that will strengthen your conviction is evidence. Precise knowledge. Is it good? Precise what? Precise knowledge. Accurate knowledge. So when we talk about dynamis, this is what we are talking about. Is that your potentialities will transcend. Your potentialities, you begin to find the expression. You are not just at the level of, I have it on my inside. I know who I am. That's it. I love you. Hallelujah. It's because it's not just by declaration or confession. I know who I am. Who are you? Are you following me? Who are you? That thing that you said you know must transit. Must leave the level of potential to become kinetic. Are you following me? It must leave the level of just the deposits of God. You know, there's a place they call depot that they store drinks, they store all of those things, right? You know, depot. If you have a depot and you store drinks in it, and for 1 year people are not patronizing you, are you forging ahead? Because the essence of you gathering those things is that there will be patronage, that there will be suppliers. Do you understand? So you are just like a devil. That thing must leave you. Are you following me? That thing that you carry on your inside must be dispensed. That's what I'm saying. That is when truly people know that you carry something. Because what you carry will attract them. If you are journeying past a depot and you see, you are attracted. Because if you want to buy, you want to patronize, and you will be attracted. Are you following me? So if you truly carry something on your inside, then people will patronize you. And there must be an attraction. Because you become a cynosure. You become, cynosure means center of attention or center of attraction. You become a cynosure. There's nowhere that there's a burning sight that you'll not be attracted to. Are you following me? That was the way Moses was convinced. God tried all kind of method. Moses was not moved, but not at burning sight. He had to turn and check. How come that the grass is burning and is not consumed? Because you cannot see fire and ignore it.
You cannot see light and pretend not to see it. It's impossible. But you see light and you pretend it. There's something wrong with you. So, if you say to us that you have the inherent power, which, of course, we have it.
Are you following me?
But that's not my own body. My own body is that inherent power must find expression. So, we can be whipped with intellectualism that you carry these things. You carry these things, and yet, you are the level of stagnancy. We cannot see what you claim to carry. Are you following me? So, in our day, what we should learn is the technology of deploying these things. We are in a time that we must deploy all. The Bible says, you know, those scriptures he quoted, they are very good. The Bible says that to the intent that unto principalities and powers might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. This manifold wisdom of God, he says that they must be made known. Not only known to you. You are making it known unto principalities and powers. Can I say that? Let me see. Are you following me?
So, they must know it.
You said to us that you carry inherent power, the possibilities of God, and they cannot feel it in your house. Eh? Your family cannot benefit from what you carry. You are an accident in you. Yes, you are. I make bold to say it. You know, our kind of Christianity now is subsistence. Amen. Or personal. Are you following me? In our time, what you carry. Can I tell you? Leave the quiet. That you carry, let me go see it. Don't say every time I'm in the quiet side. Doing what? You know, that's the lie in our time. I'm the quiet. Amen. Souls are dying. You are in the quiet. You are dead. I'm not saying you are dead. You are dead. Are you following me? It does not, if you win soul, it does not stop you from still being in the quiet. Amen. This is your residence. Listen, the secret place is supposed to be where you live in. It's not a place that you say, let me go and hide for years and come out. So those days that you came out, you don't have a secret place anymore. Do you understand? It's supposed to be your life. Your lifestyle. You know, what we have termed secret places, maybe in some days, when you just lock up yourself in the room and stay with God. No, sir. You can be mobile with your secret place. Are you following me? Because the actual secret place is not in the room. It's within you. Are you me? The actual secret place is not where? In the room. But within you. Glory to God. When Jesus said that if you want to pray, go into the room and lock up the door. What he's saying is not physical. It's referring to you. That you lock up the door of distraction and you stay with him. He's not saying go and stay in one room and begin to pray. Are you following me? It's referring to you. Because you are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you can be in the force and you have a secret place. Are you following me? You can be in the classroom and you have traveled. You are in two realms. You are still listening to the teacher or lecturer. and you are still listening to God. Sorry.
Amen.
You are listening to two persons simultaneously and you are not missing out. You need to learn that technology.
Hallelujah. So, by what means, by what technology is this level of knowing deployed? Is by that word, acknowledging.
Following, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
So, the possibility of path direction is tied to your acknowledgement. Is it clear? The possibility of path direction is tied to your acknowledgement. As you acknowledge, your paths are straightened. This is how a man unveils wisdom. Listen, even though wisdom in Christ is Christ, wisdom is still power. Sorry, Jonathan. Even though wisdom is Christ, wisdom is still far. Because for you to deploy some level of wisdom, you have to travel far. It's a spiritual location. It's also a person.
Is it clear? You hear what I said?
That wisdom is a spiritual location. It is also a person. You will not find that location without a person. So that's why the Bible introduces him to you first as the wisdom of God. It's because through this wisdom, you will enter that location. Because in the real sense, if you enter the treasury room of wisdom, you will know that this realm is far. So you don't pick wisdom at a peripheral level. You pick wisdom intrinsically. And for you to pick that wisdom intrinsically, you will have to travel far in the place of fellowship. Wisdom don't jump at a man. Wisdom is caught. Wisdom is caught. It doesn't jump on you. You catch it. You have not prayed to the point that you come out of wisdom and you shout, "Ah, I've caught it." Wisdom don't jump at a man. No, sir. You will catch wisdom. And that's why wisdom is a mystery. It's a mystery. We speak mystery. And this mystery is the wisdom of God. Are you following me? So for a man to arrive at it, that man will have to sustain some level of koinonia, some level of acknowledging. Acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge the possibilities of God. You will have to internalize it. It will have to be weaved into every fabric of your essence. And from whence you begin to pick those layers, precept upon precept, lines upon lines. At such point, men will see you and they will say to you that you are an embodiment of wisdom. They don't say that to everybody.
No.
Those who know wisdom, those who have caught wisdom, you know them. Are you following? A man with wisdom does not struggle for counsel. Are you following?
They come to you and say, "What is your own view about this? Give me 4 days. It's because wisdom has not come.
If you are a compendium of wisdom, at the point that they were speaking, listen to me. When you speak to me, I'm searching for wisdom. I follow me? I will not give you instant answer, but I know instant answer. I will on purpose tell you, wait for this time. Are you following me? You must learn the technology of, you don't just relate with people. You don't just converse with people. In their conversation, you are heaping up wisdom from the throne. That's the solution to their
calamity or their plight. Are you following? Wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is better than strength. Eh? Wisdom. So what you use your own strength to achieve, I will use wisdom. What you will use labor. You are laboring. Your own labor will still pay me.
Sorry.
Wisdom is better than strength. Don't worry, go and labor. Go and labor. You will still come back to a man of wisdom. Because you can labor without wisdom. But the thing is that you will still need wisdom. So, because you have labored and you have gathered wealth, you will come back to a man of wisdom. And that man gives you counsel and he takes your own wealth. Because it's an exchange. Exchange of value. It's a transaction. Are you following me? It's a transaction. The people who have blessed me today, I offer them something. I believe there's an offering. The labor of fools radiates them, for they know not how to go to the city. The labor of fools. The labor of fools. And what's their problem? Because they know not how to go. They know not how. There's no knowledge. But I have that knowledge. You will come to me. Do you understand? So one of the facilities that must fast track our journey in God, in fact, ultimately, is wisdom. Ultimately. Are you following me? Listen, the total package of God is wrapped up in wisdom. In fact, the journey of redemption was tattooed in wisdom. Because the only thing that the devil, the major thing that the devil will never unravel is the wisdom of God. So God looked for a way of totaling the package of redemption, and the only way God could arrive at an end that is successful is to tattoo that thing in his wisdom. And the devil was oblivious to that wisdom. In all of his journey, he even aided Calvary. He was part of the instrument God used to aid Calvary. No, not part. He was the major character. Are you following me? He was the major character. So, he was working for God unknowing to him. And to him, he thought he was doing... Hallelujah. Not knowing that all of his pilgrimage was actually to be the master planner of God. Are you following me? So he was actually executing what had been pre-planned in the studio. Are you following me? So Satan was actually the executor. How? By the wisdom of the ancient one. By the wisdom of heaven. By the wisdom of God. He tried all he could. Because he could not understand that God would be born in a manger. It's wisdom. That God will be born in a manger. It's wisdom. Are you following me? Listen. He could not understand the fact that God would become flesh and dwelt among men. So all he was doing was just to think, he's just guessing. Are you following me? So in Egypt, he told them, he inspired that all the children from the age of 2 to 1 would be killed. Just because he knew that a child was born. And the reportage was that, we have seen his stars. And listen, all be aware that before the invention of time or war clock, chronological time, and all of those things, people were reading time. By what technology? They were using the starry reality, the constellations. With the sun, they could pick that it is now afternoon. Are you following me? At that time, there was no chronological time that we have now. And yet, they were still seeing things, right? In the same vein, in those days, through the star, they would decipher your possibility. Are you following me? That's why we have stargazers. Through the star, your reality can be revealed. So, when Jesus was born, and they said they saw his star, the devil knew that something is fishy. Even though he didn't have the full scope of the wisdom that is behind that reality, but he knew that something is fishy. So he said he inspired that they kill 210 years old. Everyone with a name. I call him. Why didn't they kill him? They said me. Hallelujah. But are you aware that even with that, the wisdom of God was in place? Because before that information was deployed, God knew, wisdom speaking, and God appeared to Joseph and said, rise up and travel. The movement, all those kind of calamities stopped. The angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph and said, now the adversary of the child, they are all dead. Go back. The wisdom of God in place. Are you following me? Wisdom at work. When a man have access to this, you actually have the heart of God. Are you mean? You have what? The heart of God. Glory to Jesus. So, listen. What Brother Paul was trying to demystify in that passage of scripture is the wisdom that shuts down the reality of darkness. It's simple. And that's what I'm heading for. I don't know.
My God.
Are you mean? Because if you progress further, the Bible says that.
Let's read. Okay. Oh, Shalaman.
Verse 6. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Did you see that? When he said, nor the princes of this world, you know the person he's talking about? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. The prince of the power of the air. Right? So, what wisdom is he talking about that comes to naught? It's the wisdom of the princes of this world. And the Bible says was that even though the prince of this world had wisdom, but it is in futility. Because the wisdom tried all it could to exterminate Jesus. But it was not successful. So when it says that the wisdom of this world have come to naught, that's what it says to you contextually. Follow me. The devil deployed all he could just to exterminate him. But it was null and void. He didn't have power to be fortified. Alright? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. Now, listen. The only reason why the devil couldn't demystify or understand or unravel this wisdom is because it was hidden. Where was it hidden? It was hidden in God. And no man knows the thing of the spirit of a man save the man. In the same way, no man knows the thing of the spirit of God save the spirit of God. So it was only God who knew, because it is the spirit. You don't understand. Can I talk to you? All the prophets who prophesied, they were not aware. Are you aware? They were only moved by the Holy Ghost and they spoke. Even many of them didn't know what they were talking about. They don't know. All they knew, Abraham, he just knew that he was waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. Because God didn't release or reveal the full scope of redemption. It was within God. So it began to release fragments to prophets and judges and kings. Many of them, their lives actually depicted Christ, but they didn't know. Their culture, the way they put themselves, they were actually living Christ, but they didn't know. Solomon lived Christ, he didn't know. He married 1,000 wives, right? Do you know that that's the picture of Christ? 300 and 700. And I told us one time that the reason why he had 700 concubines, right, is because he was trying to show us how that even though Christ loved the church, there are still some outside that he will still love. Are you following me? Is it clear to you? So that's why 300 wives, 700 concubines, showing to us that there are some outside that they will still come into the fold. He can still marry them. But Solomon never knew. When Jacob was giving birth gradually, one by one, until he became 12, he never knew. He thought he was in promiscuity, but that's the wisdom of God playing out. Is it clear to you? The wisdom of God was finding expression, but they were not aware. This is because the wisdom is hidden. And if something is hidden, you have to take a concerted effort to search it. So there must be a searchlight. Are you following me? And if you progress, you will see it. He says that this wisdom is hidden, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's mysterion in Greek. In a mystery. In a mystery. So this wisdom is concealed. It's not revealed to all. Nobody knows it except you fraternize with God. And can I talk to you? In the same vein as we speak, the wisdom of God, even though it's revealed, but to you, it is still a mystery and it is hidden until you locate it. Pray. Don't assume that the wisdom is given to everybody. If you have not found your own, it's a mystery to you. It's conceived to you. You must find them. Their life to them that find them. And their flesh, their flesh, I can't remember. Are you following? Glory. Alright, so even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, alright, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
This hidden wisdom
was not explicative to others. It was not explanative. It was not a narrative. It is concealed. Actually, but God ordained it before the foundation of the world unto our glory. So the reason why it was concealed is because it's for our own glory. It's supposed to bring us to a point of glory. So none of the princes of this world knew it. For at this moment, what he's trying to say in essence is that if the devil had known, he would not have killed Jesus. He would not have aided Calvary. He would not have sponsored all that happened, that Jesus had to go for it. But because the wisdom is hidden, it's not revealed, it's not conspicuous to the optical eyes, it's actually a native, an intrinsic possibility that is factored in the essence of God, that until a man travels, you will not find it. You can pick the fragment, but you cannot touch the tangible. Amen? That's what happens if you are not doing business in deep waters with God. You can see fragments, you can see crumbs from the tables, but you will not partake of the bread. You can eat crumbs. Are you following me? But when it comes to the bread, it's not your own food. It will take a man who has traveled to pick deposits and tangible realities in God. If you have not done that, you are still at the level of peripheral, endocamp, epicamp. Are you following?
Glory to God.
You know, some of you are forgotten those things because you crowned it.
Are you following? The wisdom of God is hidden. But in our day, it's revealed. But it's hidden to the person who has not found it.
We should balance it.
Because it is the day you find it that's revealed to you. Is it clear to you? The day you find it is what?
Revealed.
If you do not open the crown of hope, you can't take the content. You can't.
The content is accessible because the crown is open. No matter how you turn the bottle upside down, as long as the crown is on it, the content will never go out. So it is the day that you open the content that the mystery is open to you. That's what is called unlocking, unraveling.
So when you say you unravel a revelation, is that day that the content of that revelation finds expression within you. The crown of the bottle is opened and the content is accessible. That's wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom of the ancient one. So the devil played a major part, a major role in ensuring that Calvary is sustained. Hallelujah. So he didn't know the mystery of multiplicity. He didn't know. All he knew all the while is that if you die, you remain dead. The mystery was hidden. That somebody goes to the grave and resurrects. And he didn't resurrect alone, he multiplied. That mystery was not accessible to the devil. He had succeeded in killing the rest. He killed Moses. He killed all of them. Nothing happened. So he thought the end of Jesus was the grave. But he didn't know that death would not hold him down. Because he is the risen king.
that will not suffer my soul to see corruption, or thy only one that might not see my soul to see in hell, on your and your only one to see corruption. Hallelujah. The best he knew is that, you see, can I tell you, the highest currency of the devil is death. He never knew that there is a mysterium apart from death. He never knew the reality of resurrection. Amen? Because nobody, can I talk to you? Even those who came back to life without Christ, they didn't resurrect. Are you? The son of the widow of Nain didn't resurrect. They only came back to life. Resurrection has texture. If you truly resurrected, something must happen to you. Number one is that you must have a new life. Number two, you must put on an immortal body. That's the texture of resurrection. So they never knew that mystery. They heard it for the first time when Jesus began to speak to Martha. Said, I am the resurrection and the life. Which means that Martha, Jesus was saying to us that resurrection is not just an event. It's a person. It's a person. And you know, like, what will make you resurrect is because of the person that is inside of you. Are you following? If you don't have him on your inside, don't expect resurrection. Hallelujah. So the devil never knew that mystery. He didn't even know the mystery of multiplicity. Because when Jesus arose, he was not the only one. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and died, it abides alone. Except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls and dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus sacrificed himself as a corn of wheat fell into the ground, arose, multiplied. So he thought he killed one Jesus, but there are many Jesus on earth right now. Many Jesuses are on earth. Jesus multiplied himself into them. That's why he had to die. That's why he says to them, if I don't go, the comforter will not come. Because if Jesus didn't die, he would remain limited. But the moment he died, there was an unlimited dimension of him, an expression of him, that he could multiply into billions of people. When he was on earth, he could not. But the day he died, there was a possibility in heaven that has never been seen before, before the foundations of the world. As at the time he was on earth, that thing, that for the first time, God unveiled that mystery of multiplicity. Jesus became multiplied in men. Nobody knew it. They were surprised. They were surprised. All of them were locked up in Hades, in paradise. But the moment the blood of Jesus touches down on the cross, the ground sampled that blood. The ground could not hold it. Because the blood they have been receiving has been a common blood. But this one is not the blood that is a population, a product of population of men. Because nobody slept with Mary. This blood was strange. Are you following me? The blood was strange. So the earth could not hold it. There was thundering. The earth had to open because they have never seen it before. It was a strange blood. It's not a product of human population. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. The blood searched. There was a sampling technique. The ground began to search. Said, we have seen the blood of Abraham. This one is different.
We have seen the blood of Moses. There was a sampling. So the response of the ground to the blood of Jesus was thundering and earthquake. The ground could not hold it. And by that, the gate of hell opened. That was why God was waiting for a perfect blood. Because it will be only on the premise of a perfect blood that the ground will open. You are not here. So the kind of material God was looking for is a material that is unblemished, that is without spot. Because the only way, why is it that when the high priest is taking the blood to the most holy place, they have to look for an unblemished lamb, an unspotted that had no blemish? It's because the only criterion that would permit that gate open is that there will not be sin found in it. You cannot appease the devil with sin.
We don't get it.
So you must present something that overrules sin. That's the way the gate will open.
You don't understand that.
If you collect loan, it is expected that you will pay with interest, right? The day you now come, they gave you a loan of 200,000. You now came to the person and gave them 200,000. What would they do to you? But if you overpay, you are discharged and acquitted. In the same vein, you cannot present a sinful blood to a sin. Do you understand? You cannot present a sinful person to a sin. I didn't say a sinful, because the devil is not sinful. The devil is sin. Are you following me? The devil is what? Sin. The only thing that you can present to him that will make him give way is a sinless blood. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the only way the grave will open is if the ground sees a blood that is not humanly populated reality. Do you understand? So the moment the blood of Jesus touches the ground, hellfire and him and the person has arrived. This is the person we have been waiting for. And he has no option than to release the spirit of man in the grave. And it was visible to the physical eyes, because men saw them in Jerusalem. That's the mystery of multiplicity. And it's the wisdom of God has worked. The wisdom of God has worked. If the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So you cannot altogether blame Judas Iscariot. He was aiding Calvary. Because in the script, all of them have their own role to play. So he played his part. And he played it well. Have you known? Jesus said to him, "Said, do that which you will do on time, quickly." Because he knew Baba was even waiting for that thing to happen on time.
You don't understand. He said to Judas, the thing you are going to do it on night sharp, because I will need to redeem him, and you are taking time. You know that it was Jesus trying to activate that demonic possibility on his inside just to aid Calvary. So the moment Jesus said that, that thing was activated. Masula, are you there? Because he was, Judas was taking time. He ought to have done that thing, but he's taking. Jesus said, this thing that you want to do, do it quickly. Heaven is waiting. Are you following me? Have you not thought about how that you know that somebody will deny you, and you are still sitting at the table with him? If a man of God has wisdom, that's his operation. That you know the person and say, well done, sir. God bless. If you know what you are doing, you are trying to heap coal of fire on him. Are you following me? You know there's a way you can use love to kill somebody. You are not praying, Lord, let them die. But you are using love to choke him. So Jesus said, as we sit right now, there's one on this table that will deny me. Amen? And he was still eating with him. It's a mystery. This is the wisdom of God at work. Not the wisdom of this world. Because if it is the wisdom of this world, you will easily know. It cannot be a mystery. That's why men of wisdom, they are mysterious. In quote, men of wisdom are mystical in nature. They do things in such a way that you begin to wonder, is this person foolish? Is he not aware that I will deny him and yet still eating with me? We speak the wisdom of God in every mystery, even the hidden wisdom. And the Bible says to us that this wisdom, none of the princes of this world knew it. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hey! So, wisdom sponsors crucifixion. Are you with me? Wisdom did what? Sponsored. You see, if you begin to check your life well, and you are sure, you see that some of the things that you are going through is actually the wisdom of God at work. I'm not saying all. Some are your own ignorance. You will die dear if you don't come out of ignorance. But actually, some of them, they are the wisdom of God at work. And by the time God is done with you, by the time it's done, I'm a living witness. Because at the point in your journey, there are things that will shut down. And you begin to wonder, is it that God has forgotten me? But if you check with me, you understand that this is wisdom at work. What wisdom is this? So for you to know that Jesus is wisdom personified, you see that all through his spiritual pilgrimage, at every point in time, he was dispensing wisdom. To the point that people began to wonder and ask him, what manner of man? Because men of wisdom are strange to earthly possibilities. They are strange. They are strange. When you see them, you cannot define them. They are, don't know how to say it. They are in a point beyond definition. Because some kind of things they say, it will be in court, eating your ears. What manner of man is this? as even the wind and the sea, they obey wisdom. And we have people living in wisdom practically in our day. We have them. One time, Bishop David, they were doing a construction in Canada, and they were to bring in a truck or a trailer, something, a trailer, right? And it was higher than the door. They tried all the to ensure that this trailer will enter into another factory. Are you following me? It's just like we have this door, and the trailer wants to enter, and it's higher than this doorpost. Are you following me? They tried all they could, but a man of wisdom came. Wisdom personified. I read that in many years ago in his book, What Wisdom Is This? Wisdom personified. Technocrats, men who are knowledgeable, intellectuals, they were there because they flew in men from outside the country. They racked their brains. Nobody could reveal anything to provide solution. He came. In just a few minutes, he prayed in tongues. And he said, deflate the tires. Deflate the tires. The moment they deflated the tires, the trailer came down, said, let us push it in. And when it got in, wisdom. Men of wisdom are telling. They are not, if they confront any situation, they are at peace. Because they know how to unlock things in the spirit. They can search it. They can pick it. It's a signal that is weak, that is native to them. They know how to attract. They know how to jumpstart it. They know how to unlock it. They know how to unravel it. Wisdom is a tool that we must pray for in our joy. We must pray for it. Hey, you know the funny thing, Sincerely, I'm just trying to wait our appetite. Okay? I'm just trying to continue what he thought. You know, he's our teacher today. Yeah, I'm just trying to. You know I'm not teaching today. I'm just laying video blocks. God bless. I'm not teaching today. Or is this teaching?
It's teaching now. Imagine that thought 1 hour. You talk.
Hallelujah. I'm just trying to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes when you lose words, now begin to repeat. Hallelujah. 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 God, you have lost words. I just spoke to somebody.
Jesus.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just follow me here. You know, I'm trying to do something. You know, just follow me. Baba, talk. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hey.
Blessed is he,
oh my God,
who comes
in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, holy, oh, holy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let me show us this last one.
I would have thought all that because those scriptures they are interconnecting portals. So if picked accurate scriptures for this passage scriptures, I would have loved to touch them one by one. Even what we were saying that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel is a powerful thing. I've talked about it before, yes, yes. But it's my teach plainly.
Hallelujah. Because as he was teaching, I was traveling, I was entering things.
You don't understand. You, oh my.
I was speaking wisdom sincerely. Beyond what he was saying, beyond here, I was just saying things. But I was hearing him.
Okay.
Alright, verse 10. But God, oh my. But God hath revealed them unto us.
This is verse 10. So verse 11 says what that God has revealed them unto us
by His Spirit.
Not just
by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth how many things?
All
things. The deep. Ah, the deep things of God. For the Spirit searcheth all things. All. So the Spirit is a searchlight. It's a search engine. You know what has killed many of us nowadays? You prefer God than the Holy Spirit. Are you? You prefer what? You prefer Google than what?
The Holy Ghost.
When last have you asked the Holy Ghost to tell you where his future is? You know it, but you can't remember the verse and the chapter. When last, I say, when Spirit, tell me where it is. The best thing is that you have internet. So, this is why we are not growing in our relationship with God. And many of us cannot capture the speakings of God. The Holy Ghost searches all things. The deep things of God is a strategy.
He's looking for something in the house one day, looking for it for days. So one day I just sat down, this is your home, I said, what do you show?
It is like he said, it's not just for you speaking 22 languages in tongues. without results. Like you can do estos, neglis, likrundogosesi endo, ashala, mirugodone kesizu and doa. It's good. You can even bring us native one, legebomo, humu, abulubulubulu aramondo. It's good. Are you following me? But that thing must translate into tangibility. I sat down on this on the couch. Hi! That's how I stand up. Leading of the Spirit. And led me to where the great meeting is. He said, where did you sit? Don't worry. How many days were you looking for it? The Holy Ghost searched all things. You can know where your resources is. It's because you have not searched. Where your wife is, where your husband is, at that time, you will not be doing guesswork. Are you? You not doing what? Guesswork. God said it's this one. After some years, God said it's this one. Are you? You is the search engine. The Holy Ghost searches all things. Not only spiritual things. You are looking for your Bible in the house. Ask him, where is it, Holy Ghost? That's how a man builds himself in wisdom. I own. It's painful that these things, we just learn them theoretically. It has not become a practical expression. You know, this scripture is easy to quote, but not easy to apply. Only few apply this. When last had the Holy Ghost reminded you of things you don't know? Are you me? This is the way you hear God's voice, not just the voice of a man. Are you following? Tell me what I said. Many times that people claim they have God, they hear God's voice. It's just your thoughts. Shut up. Shut up. Don't come and lie to us. Something just ran through your thoughts, and it looks like it's what God said. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. It's because there are deep things in God. Are you following me? There are deep things. So, the only chartered entity to search it out is the Holy Ghost. So no matter how deep a thing is, as long as it is in God, the Holy Ghost will look for it. As long as it is in God, the Holy Ghost will do what? He will look for it. All you need to do is do what? Carry your searchlight. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty does what? The Bible also says, listen, the spirit of a man is the candle of God. So the searchlight, searching the inward parts. Hey, not parts, searching the inward parts of the bed. Inward, no matter, even if that thing is hidden, the Holy Ghost will look for it. We find it out. But if you have not cultured this system of practice, you will never try it with God. The Holy Ghost will just become a tool for tongue-in for you, not a tool for advancement. You know, you can box the Holy Ghost. You can box him.
that one, the only thing you want to do is the tongue. Are you following me? The problem is that you are only using the receipt of a commodity. You are not using the commodity. Because the Holy Ghost is just like, the tongue is just like a receipt. When you receive the Holy Ghost. So many of us have left the Holy Ghost. You are only using tongues.
Oh, you are not here.
The thing is, you don't know that the time you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, yeah, whether you are accurate or not, you can still speak in tongues. But you can lead the Holy Ghost.
You know, don't worry.
Are you not? Some of you are you not joking with tongues?
I don't know.
We can just be speaking. I say, "Limo Congo, haya." Are you me?
That thing is there because it's just a receipt.
Oh my!
Are you me? You have left the Holy Ghost. You are just doing business with sound.
Are you me?
You are doing business with
what?
So a man can bask in that euphoria of just expressing libo do go. Are you say, this brother is good.
This brother is good. He's deep.
However, you have left the Holy Ghost. The commodity. You are just using it. The Holy Ghost is beyond tongue. Eh? It is not a thing, it's a person, it's God. So you don't use God, He uses you. Are you mean?
The Holy Ghost searches all things.
So one day you just lock up yourself in the room and say, "Where is my husband?" I mean,
oh my.
This thing works. One day, Baba will just come and say, "Don't baptize him." Say, "Where are you going to? You will not say anything. Say, just keep doing it." Says, "When you get to that T junction, turn right." Are you there? Say, "Where are we going?" Say, "Just keep following me." Nobody knows what you are doing. You get to a place, say, "Enter that house." And the person says, "Ah, I've been looking for you all this way." The Holy Ghost checks all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. But you know, we don't want to labor. You know, it's labor for you to stay in the room from morning to night and searching just for one thing. And say, "I just want to pray about this." From morning to evening, labor. For instead, you employ me. Amen. You know, people are paying people to fast for them now. They do it very well. Eh? You are not aware. Tell me, yo, I can't fast, but I have money.
The Holy Ghost searcheth all things. You know, these things we might be laughing about them, but it's actually a matter of life and death. Yes, we must grow our Christian life. We must become mature and search the riches of God, the wisdom of God. This is how you enter into wisdom. You stay and you begin to transact with the Lord. "Lord, where is my money?" When it gets to some critical point, that's what I do.
Amen.
I begin to search in the spirit.
Are you following me? Well, I've received money because of one wisdom one time. When I began to serve one of them. That's the way you grow. I needed one money one time. So I began to pray. And God said to me, you know this voice note. And pray for this so person. I was looking for money. He didn't drop money from heaven. Wisdom. Pray on VM for this person. So I prayed and sent it to them. My God. This thing works. You don't know God. If you know God, you will not lack.
I'm telling you. Are you following me?
The only thing God needed is not that prayer. It's just for that those persons to hear my voice. That voice that they heard alone is a voice that blessed this man of God. Instructions. Very easy.
Do you remember we were supposed to go to Oshogbo? Remember that year? Remember? You know that year I promised that I was going to bankroll the journey.
The week that we were supposed to go, there was no time. I was to spend about $140 or there. Right? So I was saying, God, don't fold my hand. I prayed. Money didn't fall from heaven. You know the instruction? Go and preach in the bus. You see, your progress is tied to your obedience. Not one day. He said this week. That week. He said this week. Preach in the bus. So, on Thursday, Baba, after this never show, and we're going on Friday. That Thursday evening, somebody sent the exact money I needed. Everybody, the exact money I needed. This is tied. This is tied. This is tied to what? I want to teach more, but because I have some, I want to say synonyms. If I was not allowed, I would go to the answers. Just to guide me. The Holy Ghost searches all this. I'm not just teaching you theories. I want to be practical about it. They said they are confused in your office. They don't know what to do. He said to them, just give me 24 hours. You go back home and you begin to pray. Listen, if they are downsizing others, they will never downsize you. Because they will remember that the day we were in confusion, this was the person who brought solution. Are you with me? Those are the persons we are looking for in Christendom. We are not just looking for preachers. I only that you stay in your respective offices, your respective area of vocation, and you are reflecting the texture of Christ everywhere. You are like Daniel in your office. Are you following me? Give us just one night. Give us 3 days. and you are coming back the following day. They said, how far have you got? Said, God spoke. You are convinced because you have picked a wisdom that is not native to mortality. It's a portion captured in the mortality. And you have transacted to the point that you have picked that dimension. And you are so sure you came back with wisdom. They will honor you for life. In fact, if it will take them to increase your salary, they will. Because they know that this one is not ordinary. This one is a system in the spirit. You are a system. The wisdom of God. The Holy Ghost searches all things. You go and lock up yourself in the room with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, how far can you speak to me about this? He searches all things. 1 hour, you have not heard anything. You are not perplexed. You are still staying there. Then I know you will speak. 2 hours, you have not heard anything. You are not perplexed. I know you will speak. 3 hours, you have not heard. You keep traveling until you arrive at a point that water will begin to sprout. Cold waters from that realm. You begin to find expression. You see, sometimes when God wants to speak, there's an accompaniment of water deposits. You begin to feel coldness on your inside. It's because the river is about to break. If you travel well, too well in that time, you begin to hear unspeakable things that mouth cannot utter. Are you following me? But you think that a man will travel. But if you cannot labor, you will not try in God. Do not labor. That's how you pick wisdom. Wisdom is not at the surface. You have to travel into the deep. So that's why the Bible says to us that the Holy Ghost searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. Because God is deep and his things are deep. Okay, you are saying, but the time he instructed you about the person to marry, you didn't pray for long. That one is just an introduction. Just to show you that he speaks. But the next one, you have to travel. Okay. Are you with me? Okay. If God wants to introduce you into things, okay, you can arrive at solution of life. But if you mature with him, you now begin to travel. Because he wants to stretch you. He wants to ensure that you are developing and building capacity. Because he knows that if he keeps asking you, if he keeps answering you in just 30 minutes of prayer, you'll be too used to it. And you'll not grow. You can even come and say to the congregation, God speaks to me early. And people will go and try it. They didn't hear God. And they will say, our pastor told us that. It's because that thing he just introduced to me to it. But the next one, that's why some of you have been asking God for something for 7 days, you have not heard in life. It's because he's still calling you to fight. The next thing to do after that is not to look for a man of God to help you. You still wait and add. You will arrive there. Are you following me? You do what? You arrive there. He has not answered you for 21 days. Stay. Don't look for a man of God. Are you following me? Stay. Keep praying. Somebody said to me from God Father. Said, I'm tired, I'm very in prayer. Do you know my reply? We have talked today that I saw the message. I said, keep praying. She said, you check it on my phone. She said, as she saw that word, keep praying, a strange strength came upon her to pray, to start praying. You know, I just said, keep praying. That was the answer. She said, I'm strengthened. The person said she was weak. Because the antidote to prayer is to keep praying. Are you following? That's the antidote. The solution to prayer is to keep praying. Oh my. There are still things going on. The Holy Ghost searches all. Yeah.
the deep things of God.
You know, many are, we are not using Him.
Apply wisdom, God, I want to say.
We use the Holy Ghost in quote only for the Bible.
Yes, it's because they have not taught us that in your respective organizations, in your academics, the Holy Ghost is there. He searches all things, all, not only the Bible. So the Holy Ghost does not become more useful when you are reading the Bible. He is more useful too when you are at work. You are in a board meeting. They don't know what to say. You are just saying, Holy Ghost, help me. Speak to me. And by the time you stand to speak, they say, what? Where did you get this wisdom from? Are you following me? Where did you get this wisdom from? Wisdom is profitable to direct.
You cannot be wisdom personified and you be directionless.
You cannot. That a man embodies wisdom and you are without direction is practically impossible. The Holy Ghost is all it is. Deep things of God. You travel.
Let me give you this secret. It's a family thing, but I'll tell you. No, my wife was asking me that what's the name of our child? I said I won't tell her. Even though I named it. Hallelujah. So because of that, she employed the second name, the Holy Ghost. I never said the name to her. Some of you were in the car, daddy. You were in the car.
But today,
we were going to downstairs, right? Do you remember she showed me something at home? And I said, the Holy Ghost is now deep now.
Yeah. She went to pray and got the same name God said to me. God said to her,
hello, you are still found. Sisters, you better stand up. You cannot marry a lion and you got nine.
But there was a quest in her heart to know, because I said I would be there. Are you away?
I'll tell her, if she says is a vision. That thing will happen. So I'm careful about vision. I'm telling you. I've tried one with you before.
Some of you were supposed to do something, I can't remember. Before you guys did it, she saw it in her vision. She mentioned the number of person that are coming that did that thing. And when I asked him, I said, how many of you said this? And she already told me before it. This is a challenge. Amen? Have you? Remember what I'm saying?
Anyway.
Before it happened, she told me that she saw this number of persons. So when he called me, they want to use this, I said, how many of you?
This one,
yeah, no,
this one,
she did.
Amen.
So some people now be saying, why is he here? You that you are saying, is you. Who are you? You are empty. Fine, you know, fine. Spiritual, you know, spiritual.
Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah. See, it pays to marry right.
Yes, sir.
Eh? don't be pity.
Yes, sir.
And don't allow people to pressurize you and say you are getting to bring us husband. I'm not saying to devil too is good.
Hallelujah. I'm just saying don't be pressurized.
Wisdom
is
hope you are aware that if she decided that,
well, I'm still waiting for my husband, she will not pick what she picked. But because there was a quest in her heart that this guy they bump too much, let me go and
she showed me the name. I said,
that is his name.
Oh boy, your Holy Ghost don't hide. I'm telling you, yes. Once in a while, you do that in your house. You do that with your spouse. Let's know what God is saying. I will not speak. I will not say anything. You go and pray. You go and pray. That's when you know the person you are married. If she's just hearing thoughts, or she's hearing God.
I'm giving you a challenge. Check your people and
go and do it.
Are you following me?
So that
when the signal is error, you know, because they told us that, listen, they told us that women, they have foresight, is the truth. But they can pick error too. So you know, say every time you want to depend on her, that every time you have to learn now to check. So that at a crossroads, you know, say, God says you should do like this, and you eventually did that, you landed in trouble. Are you following me? Please learn this wisdom. This is wisdom. No, we are not talking about marriage, but wisdom. When you teach this, how wisdom, if you can run with it, it will help you. You know, maybe because predominantly some of us, we are from a particular set, we wait until we have vision. That's what we respect. But you don't have, when you are teaching, you are telling people vision.
Yes.
What? You are telling, I've seen people, I can't count them, that have chatted me up that they just picked one word from my teaching and that became their solution. And somebody is even here. Yes. He picked one, is it a sentence from one of my teaching? And as he heard it, he entered into prayer. He said, Papa said this. And that was the solution. And he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. Have you? It was just the teaching he heard. He said, God said to him that he should hear my teaching every night.
Have you?
He heard the same thing. Every night.
Sometimes she sleeps on my teaching. Mm-hmm. Just put in her hair.
Are you following me?
Oh my God.
I'm the husband though.
Oh my God.
But she doesn't look at that one. I shared a testimony. No, we don't share a lot of testimonies on Menorah page. Of a lady that says she listens to my preaching every time she sleeps with it. One of the days, she was just in the room. And she began to hear angels singing. They were singing a particular song,
Rabboni.
She said she was looking at, where is this thing happening? She has never experienced that before. She has never even heard the song before. Yeah, thank you. Was she chatting with me? She downloads the message. As it comes in, she downloads it. She's not a CNX number. Okay. That lady, yes. Glory to God. You know that those things, they are portals. I ensure that this night I did it before I slept there. I ensure that anytime I want to sleep, learn this. I put a particular button in my heart. Are you following me? I could put, like tonight, I put somebody's name in my heart. Don't worry, I'll teach you.
next week Tuesday, I'll be around. Like I was going to teach on meditation. I was supposed to teach on meditation today before I said you should teach. I thought I was not going to be around. I was supposed to be today. Sorry, yesterday. So I had to. And because I couldn't teach, I didn't want to change it. So I was supposed to teach on meditation. So I put that name in my heart. And I began to think about it. Because I want to think something about that person. I want to know the problem with the person. So I will do that until I sleep. I'm not just... My own goal is not just to give us theories. Practical. How do we live this life? I'm teaching us practical now. How do we live this life? We know that we have it on our inside. How do we express it? So you have a body, you want God to speak to you. You will put that thing in your heart. Keep thinking about it. Keep thinking. Until you will burst into the revelation of that thing. You understand? So when you do that well, and you put it in your mind that it enters the subconscious as you sleep. I don't know how it happens to some of you. You are doing it. An angel will just come and say concerning you. Some of you do not see anything. There will just be a knowing that as you wake up out of the thing, you just know. Practical Christianity. This is the practical life. So some of you say, I don't hear God. It's because you don't know how to. There's a technical know-how. So I've taught you one of it. Are you following me? Because listen, there are two things. Hope you are aware that if before you sleep you pick a pornographic picture and you are beginning to look at it, you are enjoying it, there's every tendency, 99%, that when you sleep as a man, you will sleep with somebody in your dream. You don't know. That thing that you are doing is actually opening a window. Hey. It's opening a portal for you. It's opening a portal for you. Are you following? And because your affection, your emotion is attached to it, demons we try on that one to find the expression. That's the way you have nightmares. Are you following me? So instead of that, you will channel your thoughts. You channel your thoughts. For example, if you want to sleep, you can, if you want to have encounters, for example, whether with angels or with Jesus. Are you? Because you know what, many of you are still waiting that it will come. You will engage in it. I'm not saying it, yes, you will come, but you can come in 5 years. But you can abhor him on daily basis. You can say every night, I want to see you. And it will come. But that will not happen at that level. You have traveled. So you must sustain a consistent reality. So you ensure you pick a revelation or a scripture that has pictures. Like Ezekiel chapter 1. Revelations. You ensure you pick that scripture. You look at it. Angels with four wings. Don't worry, I'll teach it. I'll teach you meditation.
This is the same way that you know scriptures. Hey! You are wondering that scriptures are not opening to you. It's because you are not doing these things. It's beyond you just studying like this and look and look and look. I just say, thank you, Father. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise. Quiet time. Sir, you will not grow that way. You will have head knowledge, but you will not be in touch with God. But when you arrive at the place that you just speak, I'm going to teach in today, tomorrow. I just picked one word, lay hold on. That has been my meditation. Lay hold on. You now leave that one. You now look at eternal life. You now put that in your spirit every day. Eternal life. What is eternal life? See, if listen to me, can I tell you this thing? If you arrive at a day in your journey that you believe that you have heard the gospel before, you are a fool. That they say, open one Bible, say, I know it's very good. Or that somebody wants to mount the pulpit, I know how it will start. You will never profit from it. Because for you to capture things, you have to first empty yourself. Are you following me? You will empty. If a place is full, there will not be anything to be filled with yourself. So you first do what? And you don't assume that you know. Even if that was the Bible you read before you came for the meeting, and they say, open it. You don't say, like today, all the scriptures, I opened it. The things I don't know before came. I'm telling you, the things I didn't know before, as it was opening it, came. If I have left that thing too early in my journey, that you don't assume that you know. This first question asked, when I was still that I can from beginning to end, I can put it. Those things, you know until I stopped it. I stopped. Because I don't want people to say, he knows Bible a lot. And to just be head knowledge. This scripture, when I was growing, I'm still growing, was this first one after too sorry, was the thing I started with. And the person that trained me then trained me to learn scriptures by verse. If I come, he said, what is verse 1 saying? If I come, say, what is verse 2 saying? He has told me that I quote everything verbatim. So that was how I came into knowing scriptures. That I will quote it exactly as it is. That was my goal then. Just to know everything. So I read scriptures, I read it like mad. I read well. It will be hard though. That there's a place that you want to mention. That don't have the knowledge. I just have, and I don't know the full thing, but those days, before you say scriptures, I would say the verse it is. You know in school now. But I just have to stop it. 5 minutes away, and I don't have my bag. 1:34. Don't cancel. I can just put what I'm doing. But it's painful that I'm talking. I'm serious. Jesus. I have things in my spirit. I'm serious. Don't cancel the word. So that I can get to that place and thank you. So don't worry, we'll do it next week. We'll do meditation. I'll teach us. I want practical Christianity. Everyone, that every one of us here, we can stand as a Christian. We are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We can stand. That we don't struggle to achieve some things. And it will cut across every area of our lives.